Father, we thank you as we come in Jesus' name that there ever was a time in our lives when we became so desperately needy that we cried out to you. Thank you that our extremity became your opportunity. And how wonderful it is to know that we belong to your family, and in a special way, men and women who have been called out in the greatest age and dispensation of all, getting ready for the greatest place that heaven will ever hold. Help us to respond to you, and if they be here who know you not, we pray that you will help them in Jesus' name. Amen.
You got a long distance call from Chicago.
I can't take it right now. Call back in an hour. I want to read from the 21st chapter of the book of Revelation, reading from the 9th verse through the 23rd verse. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will shew thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and shewed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was likened to a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. He that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, approximately 150 feet, according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedonian, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardis, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth a chrysophorus, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Now the Bible tells us that there are three heavens. The first is the heaven in which the birds fly, in which airplanes usually fly, the place where there is the air. The second heavens are the heavens out yonder where the planets are, out into deep space. While the third heavens are the heavens that are beyond this, where God has His throne. And this is something that sometimes straightens out some things for some people. I read of that beautiful cathedral that's in Leningrad, Russia, called St. Isaac's. And they tell me that it's one of the most beautiful structures, architecturally speaking and otherwise, that the world has ever seen. And in the days past when the czars worshipped there and others, of course it had the statuaries that were representative of the Lord Jesus. But today, they have two great pictures in the front of this cathedral. The communists took over, and they are there of their two main cosmonauts, Gagarin and Titov. And there they stand and command the eye of the people who come to this beautiful piece of architectural genius. But this is what is found below the pictures in Russian, French, German, and English. We have searched the heavens, and there is no God. Could make you cry. That would influence anyone. I realize that these men, for several reasons, would say that. In the first place, they hate God. In the second place, they only scratched a little bit of the surface of this great massive universe. They could spend several lifetimes in the fastest spaceship that's ever been created by man and never reach the outside of this present galaxy, much less get to the throne of God. And then there is another reason. You see, God is spirit, and the physical eye does not see spirit. Now you understand that this room is full of sounds other than my voice and of figures other than mine, but it would take a television or a radio to bring them out to where your eye and your ear could see and hear them. So when God says He's spirit, and God says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, and Jesus told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I don't wonder that these devil's henchmen went up in the heavens with brains washed of the thought of God, in spite of the fact that their hearts would have cried out some way in spite of everything. Their hearts would still cry out because God has placed eternity in every heart, and nothing of this earth can ever satisfy it. And I'm not surprised that they went up there and flew a little distance up in this first heavens and came back and said, "We searched the heavens, and there is no God." Well, I remember that great King David back yonder before God had given all of the revelation that he has given today. He had a little boy that died. David lay on the earth, fasted, prayed, afflicted himself, and cried out to God, and finally the news came. David, the boy, is dead. He arose, dressed himself, washed, anointed himself, and someone said, "David, how is it when the boy was alive, you wept and fasted and put on old sackcloth? Now that he has died, you arise, put on your royal robes, eat, anoint yourself, and you seem to be happy." David said, "Look, he can never come to me, but one day I'm going to go to him." You see, dear hearts, this is not something that is new and of a recent revelation. Abraham, way back yonder in the history of the human race, got a vision of the glory. And the Bible says he sought not a continuing city, but he sought a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker was God. And so we come to think about heaven. I know how little folk hear about heaven today. Sister Miller, it's supposed to be out of fashion. Well, it all depends on what fashion you're trying to keep up with. If you're trying to keep up with the devil and something of that kind, you can go along and say there's nothing to it. And incidentally, God willing, I'm going to talk about the devil tonight. And you'll say there's nothing to it. But if you're trying to stay in fashion with the coming age, then you'll know about heaven and you'll study about heaven. I think it ought to be a wonderful theme for all of us, but especially when I think and I look out and some of you, your hair is turning gray and the lines are settling in your face and your forehead and your step is infirm. Brother Honaker told me he could hardly get in the bathtub today. And you see, I'll tell you what that's all about. It's indicative of a fact. And the fact is this, that you're going to take a journey pretty soon. Wouldn't you like to know a little more about the place you're going, if you're going there? I'd think if you were taking a journey in the natural, here's Jim and Arlene, they'd never taken a trip in their lives, and suddenly it dawned on them they were going to get to go to California last summer. And my, that house was aglow with a trip. They read about it, they studied about it, they looked it over in the few short days that they could, and it was a wonderful trip. They looked forward to it. You see, you don't make a trip without looking forward to it, and every one of you are going to make a trip. I don't know whether this is the place you expect to go or not, but you are going to make a trip. Young or old, middle-aged, I don't care. Inevitably, you're going to go out yonder into eternity, and your direction will be decided by your faith in or against the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, you have to have faith for something. You do have faith either in God or the devil's lie, one of the two. And you make up your mind. You're believing somebody. You may say, "I don't believe," but that's believing the devil. And so here we are. How little folk hear and know about it. But thank God we try to inform you around here. Now our text describes that place that Jesus said he was going to prepare for his own. And oh, what a place. It is utterly amazing. Astonishing. I feel bewildered when I begin to think about it. Can you imagine looking into all of the crown jewels of the world just heaped up in one heap? No eye ever saw anything like that. Supposing you had it all just in one big bin or basket or scattered out in one big room, and bright spotlights were falling on those jewels, and it was your privilege to go up and look at them. You'd pay money just to look at them. But I'm telling you about what is and can be yours. See? Not something that you're going to look at, something that'll be yours. It is yours. If you're a child of God, this is yours. But what a place. I think it's just like a burst of living glory and beauty. The grandeur of the celestial life can't be described. Paul was caught up there once and came back and wrote, "It is unlawful for a man to utter." The Greek word means it's impossible. It can't be expressed. How easy we can understand this when I give you a little simple illustration like this. Can you tell me what a peach tastes like? You know you can't. If you can, you're the first person that ever could. But now here, we have something that's utterly indescribable. And this is the place that God has for his own. When we think of this world, the place that God made for the natural man, you think of its beauty. Oh, I think of so many things in the world that God has made, the beauty of it. And yet, here we have that holy city. No wonder Paul wrote, "Eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the hearts of men the things that God hath prepared for them that love him." Now I know John's first description of this city is on the outside. He speaks about 12 great foundations. Now, as I study this and think about this, I think some of our modern buildings are somewhat like this. You see some of these high-rise buildings, and underneath them they have these pillars that hold them up. I think this must have been what it was like. And can you imagine how massive, how great 12 foundation stones would have to be to support a building 1,500 miles four square. But let me read something to you. The first one is one solid diamond. Now you men and women, throw away that junk you got on your hands. See? Don't amount to much. You get all excited. Why, did you know what Burton bought Liz Taylor? Why, this looks like a grain of sand besides the rock of Gibraltar. One diamond, so massive that it's one of 12. The second one is a sapphire. The third one is a chalcedonia. The fourth is an emerald. The fifth is one solid sardonyx, and so on until the 12th is one great amethyst. What a building. I can come to it, and I get there, and I look up and down on it, and every place I look, it's a dazzling beauty that meets the eye. And I think, if the foundation is such, what must the walls be? And if the walls be such, what must the city be? And if the city be such, what must the mansions be? And if the mansions be such, what must the palace be? Now listen, I'm not talking about a dream. This is real. Well, note, the 12 foundations are named after the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And the 12 gates are named after the 12 tribes of Israel. Four square, 1,500 miles long, wide, and high. It would cover England, Scotland, Ireland, Wales, France, Germany, Poland, Holland, Denmark, Switzerland, Italy, Spain, Turkey, Greece, Austria, Scandinavia, Turkey, and all of European Russia. And that's just one floor that I'm talking about. There's tier on tier on tier for 1,500 miles up this way. Now you think about this for a little bit. Wonderful to know that we're dealing with God, isn't it? Not fooling around. Oh, you say this is impossible. How foolish. Someone said to me yesterday, I've had a little trouble with my gallbladder, and I think I maybe had a stone to move off into the tract. And someone said to me yesterday, you know, the doctors say once they get in there, they never back up. I said, but I know another doctor. You know what they'd have told old Joshua? They'd have said, once the sun gets up that far, it never goes back. Oh, but it does when God turns it back. You see, we're not dealing with natural law. We're dealing with supernatural law. We're not dealing with what man can do. We're dealing with what God can do. And nothing is hard for the Lord. Well, it's color. How unspeakable, how incomparable, brilliant, iridescent. Think of all the beautiful hues as the lights of such an array of jewels mingling in one constant flash of brilliance burst constantly upon the eye. So often we see the blaze of the trees as they color the landscape. Brother and Sister Hatch were with us the other day when we went down in southern Missouri, and she was so taken by the beauty of the country, she said, I want to take the family, if the Lord tarries, and bring them down and spend a few days down here. We saw trees that looked like that shirt you got on, David, just about. Actually, you think of some of these things, the deep blue azure of the sky and the surf as it comes in. So beautiful. And you think of the beauty of the August sun. It just seems to be more beautiful. And the harvest moon. Recently we were out in the evening. And there was the big old harvest moon up in the skies. And how beautiful it was. And I think of the rainbow and the colors that make rainbows. And you think of this, and yet here we have something that so far surpasses anything that's ever seen. I remind you again, Paul said, I hath not seen. I hath not seen. So see what you will, all of this is on the outside. Let's go inside. John walks through the gate. One solid pearl. The pearl is the only jewel that comes to us through a wounding and a suffering. It's through Calvary that we enter that great city. Somebody suffered to let us get there. And you make sure some saint suffered. You know, every once in a while it's a little strange. You know, someone gets started and they want to know how much money I take in and what I do and what I don't. I never noticed them wanting to know when I was back yonder working on the WPA to plant a meeting like this. They didn't come around want to count my check then. You'd better wake up. God don't use you, He'll use someone else. Because my faith is in God. It isn't in people, it's in God. We've done this because our faith is in God. But anyway, you think, I'm not boasting or bragging, but I have suffered just a little bit to come this way. And it's through the suffering that the gate is opened. Not just his suffering, but the sufferings that are in harmony with Calvary. Somebody has to suffer. That's the reason the church is in the miserable condition that it's in today. Nobody wants to make any sacrifice to go with God. If we can have our worldly friends and our worldly amusements, and if we don't have to be a fifth wheel in our classes at school, and if we don't have to be that peculiar people that God wants, then all right. We'll go with God. But Jesus made it clear, if any man come after me, let him deny self and take up his cross. It has to be that way. We complain and we murmur. And if we don't have it like we think we want it, we throw up the traces and kick in. I thought of my dear old mother the other day. I was praying and I was thinking about her being in heaven. And I thought, yes, back yonder when I was less than 3 and my younger brother was just 6 weeks old, God took our father to heaven. She had a $5 bill when it was all over, and she lost it on the way to the funeral. She didn't run out and have a race riot or some other kind of riot and tell the world that they weren't treating her right. She buckled in and her family buckled in, and we got up from poverty. And thank God it was that way. Sure, we want everything on a silver platter. Oh, you say, Hill, you don't know about work. Well, listen, if you don't know how to work, don't never go in the field with me 40 years ago. Brother Gies, you think my walking you down, going down the riverbank, I'd have grabbed that old tobacco knife and a spear and a stick and I'd have took down the row. And if you'd have stayed with me, you'd have had to been walking. You wouldn't have been cutting. Oh, thank God. We're reminded of the way But then heaven is described as a place where there are no more tears. And what would this mean to you if you've never cried? And it's a place where there's no more sorrow. And what would this mean to you if you'd never had your heart crushed and broken? And it's a place where there's no more death. And what would this mean to you if you'd never walked away from an open grave where something you loved better than life itself had to be put away forever? Pain, no more pain. Those sleepless nights, those days and times when something hurt so badly that you couldn't sleep, you couldn't rest. You were exhausted, but you couldn't rest. Oh, thank God! It's going to be different. No temple. For the Lord God Himself is the temple of it. That means God will fill it. He'll be everywhere. His presence will be known. Everywhere. It won't be like coming into a place where maybe you do and maybe you don't listen. God's presence will so blanket heaven that everybody will know who's there. It's solid gold. The streets are solid gold. Oh, transparent as glass. Man has never refined gold like that, has he? And then we think of the river of life and the tree of life whose leaves are for the healing of the nations. It'd be a wonderful place. You'll never see a beggar along the way. You'll never see a crutch. You'll never see a cane. You'll never see a pair of glasses. You'll never see a hearing aid. You'll never see a wheelchair. You'll never see anything like this. Everybody are going to be eternally everlasting happy and healthy. I was telling them about Richard Baxter the other night. One of the great preachers of a gone by age, our generation. He suffered so much. Persecuted, prosecuted, jailed, tormented by the foes of Christianity. He came down to his last sick bed. One of his friends came by, saw him there so helpless. Said, Brother Baxter, how do you feel? He said, I'm almost well. And that was his last words, and suddenly he was forever well. Forever well. Health, oh, eternal life, not just in the soul, but suddenly eternal life took over. Oh, then I think about the people that are in heaven. One man, I think he expressed it about as well as I ever heard, said he was saved when he was just a young boy. He said when he thought of heaven, he thought of a place where there were massive, beautiful walls and streets and great spires reaching up. And oh, he said he thought of it like that. And he said he grew to be a young man, met a young woman, got married, had a beautiful little boy. About 3 years, God took him. He said, then I began to see that face up there in the heavens. Said it wasn't long until my mother died. I began to know she was over there on those streets. He said, then my daddy died. My friends, my uncles, my aunts, my cousins, my neighbors, my relatives. And finally said, my beloved wife died. He said, now when I think of heaven, I think of mother and dad and my boy and my wife and my friends and my loved ones. Sure, that's what's going to make heaven a sweet place. It isn't just gold. Gold never made anybody happy. Diamonds never made anybody happy. Emeralds never made anybody happy. Rubies never made anyone happy. Great massive mansions never made anybody happy. Listen, it's people that make you happy. People say, well, Brother Hill, you're getting a pretty good-sized congregation. You ought to see the one that's waiting for me over yonder. Glory to God, for 40 years I've been a-telling this story without fear and favor to men, and some believed it and some didn't, and some wanted it and some didn't, and some hated me and some loved me, and some became my friends and some became my enemies. But oh, thank God, when I get over there, there won't be an enemy to meet. All going to be my friends. Well, but above and beyond everything, Jesus says he's there. Is there anything like Jesus? Not if you really know him. Oh, the name of Jesus is just the sweetest of names. Sometimes Brother Wood leads them in the chorus, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. It's the sweetest name heaven knows. It's the sweetest name the angels know. It's the sweetest name in the universe. And that means Savior. Savior. Oh, aren't you glad for him? What are we going to do there? Now, Paul, three times in the book of Ephesians, I brought this out the other night, speaks of that eternal future. He speaks of the dispensation of the fullness of times. God will gather together all things in Christ. Then he says, in the ages to come, he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace to usward which believe. And then again, he said that to the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. When I think of the infinitude of God's universe and the governments of all will be given into our authority, and how we'll rule and reign with him, we shall rule and reign forever and forever. It's a crown that fadeth not away eternally in the heavens. And the Apostle Paul explained his own great life. He said, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. Bless his heart, I don't know how good or how great he was in the natural. I never met him. But one of the great figures, at least, of the sports world, Jackie Robinson, went into eternity this past week. They had him out yonder in the Hall of Fame with many others. Must have been a real feeling of success and achievement to know that the first black man had reached the Hall of Fame. But long, long before that time, many a black man had reached the Hall of Fame over yonder. And that's the place I want my fame. That's the place I want to be crowned. That's the place I'm looking forward to. That's money that won't get inflated. That's something that will be forever good. Eternity will roll. And you'll be as young as you ever were. Things will be as sweet as they ever were. The ear will be tuned to a music that never grows old.
and to an occupation that never makes you tired. Oh, think of being with Him, of serving Him, of worshiping Him, and exploring this great universe with Him. Well, Alfred Lord Tennyson expressed it in the poem, Crossing the Bar. He said, sun set, an evening star, and one clear call for me, and may there be no moanings of the bar when I put out to sea. But such a tide as moving seems asleep, too full for sound and foam, when that which drew from out the boundless deep turns again home. Twilight and evening bell, and after that dark. And may there be no sadness of farewell when I embark. For though from out our bourne of time and place the flood may bear me far, I hope to see my pilot face to face when I have crossed the bar. I agree heartily with all of that but the last phrase. And if I had written it, I would have written, I know I'll see my pilot's face when I have crossed the bar. Well, I told you I have not seen nor heard nor hath entered into the hearts of men the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him, but I've tried to give you a little hint of it here. Now you can't tell me of a place like that. In all your journeys you'll never find anything like that on earth for several reasons. Several reasons. See? In the first place, every building you see in this world, a man has built it. But this building, its maker and its builder is God. I don't care how many laws you pass and how many policemen you get to enforce your laws and how many doctors and how many miracle drugs are brought into that city. You cannot wipe the pain and the curse that's in that city away. But this one does. No mortuaries. No grave diggers. Oh no, I don't know. Just might be possible they'll have one open up there somewhere to let you see how it used to be. May have an old rusty spade. But not for us. Wouldn't you like to go to a place like that? You can have it for the choice of your heart. Believe God. Put your confidence in God. Oh, how wonderful. How wonderful. You see, this is not a dream to me. This is real. More real than that place I'm going to go to if Jesus tarries directly. See, if He don't tarry, I know the place I'm going. Not going to take me long to get there, just a half a wink of an eye. Huh? You know who's coming for you? Lord Himself. He's not going to say, oh, I've often thought of Brother Beast, I've thought of how my mic's dead and they want me to stick close to this microphone this morning. And I've often thought of what a wonder to come and get some of God's children. Can you imagine Gabriel or somebody saying, oh, just let me take a pair of them fiery steeds in this chariot of fire and let me go down there and get that jewel. Oh, he said, no, no. I said, I will come again. Can't let you go down and get that. And I've seen people breathe their last, and somehow in the spirit of my mind I pictured Jesus reaching down and picking that one up in his great arm and pulling it into his bosom forever. Let's pray.